All right, so Don, you know, first things first, like, you know, there's some crazy times going on in the world right now. How are you and the family holding up during this?
Oh, fairly well. I was on the road kind of when this was breaking out. I was doing a play. I was in Chicago, and then we were supposed to be there for a month, and it was somewhere in the middle of that, towards the end of the second week, it started escalating more and more, and you know, it was expanding in terms of the scope and severity, and we didn't know what was going to happen. Our audiences started getting smaller and smaller because people weren't going out as much.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In that third week. And then they closed down all the theaters on Broadway towards the end of our third week. And then it was a few days later, they notified us that they were going to be closing down also. So, we flew home a week early, and when I got home, I'd say a week or so after I got home, I was not feeling great. I'm not sure whether I had it or not, but because, you know, some people are not very symptomatic.
Sure.
Totally without symptoms, or they're very minor symptoms, and then it runs the gamut. But I was very tired for a while, and I thought, oh, well, I'm just tired maybe, but it was weird because I had, not to get into all the stuff, but, you know, like my muscles and my legs were really weak, and I was feeling pains in my joints and aches, and, you know, and then I'd feel better, and then it would come back.
Oh, wow.
And I'm still, and then I thought, like yesterday, I was feeling like the best day I'd had. And now today I was in bed a lot today because I was just so tired. So I don't know what's going, you know, you just don't know. And it's hard to get tested when you're not showing the more severe symptoms, you know.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll see, you know. Hopefully if it is the actual virus, I feel like, you know, I'm sort of battling it and probably on the end stage of it. And luckily it was minor.
Sure.
Is what I'm thinking. So, anyway, long answer to that question. Long winded about it.
But it's like just such weird, scary times. Like, I mean, it's almost out of a movie. Like, you never, you know, nobody's ever experienced anything like this in our time. And
I know.
It's just a scary time.
It is. It's so surreal. And you feel like, you know, am I kind of in a dream here? Am I going to wake up?
Right.
And you realize it's real. It's just so bizarre. And the longer it goes on, it really starts taking a toll, you know, in so many different ways. But hopefully, you know, there are signs that we're on the upswing in terms of maybe letting, you know, the curve is flattening, as they say, and all that.
Right.
And maybe I don't think we're going to be back to anything normal as we know it. Very soon, but it'll be closer to it.
Right.
So hopefully that'll be coming on, you know, like that we'll be able to go out a little bit more and maybe travel and do those sort of things. That, hold on, I'm sorry. For some reason, my iPad had a mind of its own and all of a sudden, I don't know what's going on. That is so weird. Okay. Sorry about that. Anyway, hopefully we're past the worst of this is all we could hope for.
How about you as the performer, whether you're on stage, like you said, doing a play, or the musician in you, the singer in you, does it make you nervous? Because, I mean, you might not be able to get back on the stage in either capacity until possibly next year, they're saying.
Really? I mean, I've heard so many different things. I don't know what the timetable is. That is scary. And I mean, for everybody, you know, so many, there are some people whose jobs aren't affected, but so many are. And so even for for something like this, where I had some plays that I was scheduled to be in. There was one that was going to be happening. It's going to happen. All of them, and I had a singing gig in August as well. I had some, I even had some in July that got canceled.
Wow.
So, yes, I don't.
Nobody knows.
It's such a kind of fluid thing, you know. It's changing. It changed daily, the sort of the forecast or the predictions, prognosis, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But yeah, it is. I mean, then I had another one that I was supposed to be doing in November. So I was originally figuring, okay, well, that's safe, you know, by November.
Yeah.
But if what you're hearing is not till 2021, well, then that's a whole different ball game. Wow.
Right, right.
That's what you've been hearing, that, you know, normal, let's say, like theater and performances and that sort of thing might not be taking place until 21?
Not until, well, yeah, 21, next year, yeah.
Wow.
So you don't know. Yeah. You hear one thing from one person, one thing from another, and one article says one thing, another article says another. You just don't know.
Yeah, and it could change 10 more times in the next week, you know,
exactly.
In the next month. Yeah.
So, but the main reason we're here to talk to you today is you have teamed up with your old Happy Days best friend on the show, Anson Williams.
Yeah.
And you have done this this show called Harvest Time. And Don, I got to tell you, like, when I sat and watched it the first time, I was kind of like in shock and in awe. Like, it was nothing I was expecting from these two guys.
Right. Yeah, definitely not. But that was the idea. We actually did this a little while ago. A producer, David Levin, came to both of us, and we had done some interviews with him on something, and then he was talking about this idea he had for a series to take two very well-known actors from a show, like an iconic duo, and put them in something, you know, because they have great chemistry, they worked so well together, and people liked seeing them together, and take them and put them in something completely different.
Right.
And then, like, each, it would be like an anthology show, so that each week, you know, it would be a different duo. It could be, you know, people from Cheers, or it could be people from Friends, or people, you know, I mean, on and on, all the different TV shows. And, but they'd be in very different kind of genre of material and different characters, and give them a chance to do something that's really fun for actors to do. And then the audience would, you know, would be fun for them to see them. It sounds like a cool idea, but what, you know, do you have a script, or what do you got? And friends with a New York playwright by the name of Fred Stroppel, an award-winning New York playwright. And he said he's written all these great one-act, he has a bunch of these one-act plays with mainly two characters. So he said, why don't I send you, you know, see if one of them really hits you. And we figured, okay, you know, maybe they'll be okay, and maybe one will be pretty good, or they won't be any good, you know. That's more often the case than not. And then we got them, and, like, they were all great, you know. I mean, really excellent material and great writing. And we were, wow, how do we even pick? They were all so good. But we decided on this one, Harvest Time, and David said, yeah, well, let's go ahead. Let's shoot that as the pilot. And Anson directed it, because he's directed so much television. And I've directed two, but I've directed three independent films. But
okay.
He had a lot more experience doing a TV and all different genres. So so it was like, okay, he'll direct. But the two of us were going to work so closely together anyway, in terms of working on the acting and the scene itself. So it was a very collaborative kind of thing. And it just came out great, you know, and we loved the process. It's like 30 minutes of the two of us just going at it with each other, a pretty intense scene. and it's in real time. You know, it's just
right.
Straight. There's no like, okay, now it changes to a different location, or now it's the next day, and it's none of that. It's just real time, you know, 25, 30 minutes straight. And it came out great. And we weren't sure whether we had real interest in it from some of the networks, but we weren't happy with the, they wanted to change certain things and we were going to lose control. And so we kind of pulled it back and we pulled it back and said, this isn't the right time, you know. And then the producer called us up like a month ago and said, what do you think about, I'm thinking it might be a good time to just put it out there. Like he has a YouTube channel because he produces other things on it. He said, why don't we put it out, you know, and let everybody put it up there for free and put that episode up and just get it out there. Let's see what people think, you know, that kind of thing. And we said, yeah. And everyone's stuck home, you know, looking for things to watch. And,
right.
And this might be a good time to put it out there and give people some, I mean, it's very funny. So it's entertaining in that way, but it's not the kind of funny that, as you alluded to, that people would expect. It's dark comedy and there's a lot of dark and there's a lot of language, some raw language and it gets kind of intense and emotional. But it's still people, you know, the response that we've been getting now that it's been up there has been fabulous. People are going, wow, never expected this. And this was, you know, great, fantastic. We want to see more, you know, are you going to do more episodes? So the response has been terrific. I mean, there are a few people that were so sort of taken aback and not expecting it. And I think the language, you know, was a problem that could be a problem for some people, and we understand, but it was sort of necessary for the piece because it's the nature of who these guys are and what they're going through. It's you know, we're not pulling punches. This was the one act play and it was written so well and it's integral to the story. It's not just gratuitous, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. And that was the thing too. Like, you know, seeing these two guys curse was it's kind of shocking because you don't expect people don't expect to be cursing, but here you are in these two different roles and you're all grown up and mature, and it's a serious situation that you're dealing with, and you said, not gratuitous at all. It's needed for the scene to go through.
This is how people would talk in those situations. I saw a bunch of comments from somebody was like responding to someone else who was raising issues with the language, and like this guy was saying, well, sounds like these guys are from Long Island, which he's right, because he said they mentioned the North Shore, that he's getting a job on the North Shore, and he recognized that was Long Island, and he said, you know, I'm from Long Island, and this is exactly how we would talk, and you know, this, they were being true to the material, you know, and that's what it was about. But like I said, the vast majority of people, you know, see that, get that, and just don't have. I understand some people have problems with language, but that's okay. You know, you can't please everybody all the time. That's
right.
The nature of it. But for the, you know, a lot of the comments were, you know, after about 2 minutes, I forgot it was Ralph and Potsy. You know, for the first 2 minutes, it was like a little jarring. Seeing us that way, but then they go, then I just forgot it, and then got into the story because it was such a compelling 25 minutes. And you know, the Anson will, I know you're going to probably be talking to him, and maybe he'll set it, I'll let him set it up because he sets it up better in terms of the, a little bit of a plot as a teaser, you know. So I'll let him do that, but I'll say it involves a kidney. One of our kidneys.
now,
I'll leave it at that.
When you guys got approached to do this and you read the script, where was it always going to be you as the brother Billy? Because you guys play brothers, but was it always going to be you in the role and Anson in that, the role he has?
Well, good question. Yeah, we're brothers. He wound up playing Billy, the older brother, and I'm Mikey.
Okay.
I think that's right. But what happened was Anza was a little Anza had been spending so much of these last years directing, and he wasn't acting. He totally put that aside and was focused on directing, and he was a little bit hesitant about doing it because he said he didn't have the confidence. He's like saying, you know, I haven't done it in so long, and this is a pretty intense piece, and da da da. And he was a little uptight about it, and I was like, no, man, you can do this. You definitely can do it. We'll work together. You know, we can rehearse together. And he started feeling more comfortable, you know, because we would be doing it in, you know, working. And we did work so well together all those years. And then we stayed in touch with friends. We're like best friends. So that made it a safer, more comfortable environment for him to play in. And that's what happened. I said, well, which role do you want to play? Because, you know, I said, I could go either way. And he felt more comfortable playing the older brother. So I said, yeah, that's fine. I think that's probably the best way to go for this piece right now. So that was it. It was, you know, it wasn't like the producer said, oh, you know, I want you to play this character. And then we had big discussions about it. It was a pretty simple conversation. It was like, okay, I'm playing this guy, you're playing that. I said, okay, you got it.
I got to say, too, and compliment Anson. Like, his acting in this is really, it might be some of the best I've seen him do, where, I mean, just the actions alone to the situation and stuff that you bring up in the conversation is just, like, it's moving. It really is.
Yeah, he did great. He did great. You know, and then he downplays it. He goes, because he just hasn't been focused on it. But I think he was pretty, I think surprised at how well he did. I think he surprised himself because he did great. And you know, and working together, you know, we were able to just bring out the best in each other. You know.
Now, at any time, did you screwing around while you were doing it? Did you, like, throw an old line out there? Like, did you ever go at any point, like, I still got it?
Well, that never came, or crept into the scene there at all. No, we were just so focused on this piece and the characters. We shot the whole thing, most of it in one day, and we just spent part of the next day getting a few shots, but Anson came up with a great way to design in a directing design in terms of cinematically how it would be shot. Could have been when you have two people in one, say, you know, like basically in a room for the whole time, it could be pretty flat, you know, like sometimes shoot like a play and they try to capture it, it comes off flat. It's that proscenium kind of thing. It's not cinematic. But Anson had done had directed a TV show that he said, I think this would be, that had a certain style. And he said, I want to use, I think, this style for this piece because it will make you feel like you're really there in the room and that you're not like just sort of watching from a distance, like an audience member, but that you're right there in the middle of it, and like a voyeuristic feel. And so we had several cameras, and as I knew the material so well that we said, okay, let's just, and he told the cameras what to be doing, and we just ran through the entire thing with the cameras. We had two cameras doing certain things that he had them do. Then we'd go and back and do it all the way through, you know, for 30 minutes straight, all the way through again. And the cameras were now in a different look, in different angles and different distances. And we just kept doing that all day so that the choices that we had. And then I was very involved in the editing. It was a great editor named Scott Scalise, who sadly passed away just a whole few months ago.
Oh, wow.
But I worked with him very closely on the edit, and the choices of shots were, it was great. It was just great the way like I said, cinematically, he did a great job so that we were able to pick and choose, you know, just the right angle, the right size for the different moments, because there's so many great moments. There's all kinds of twists and turns in this piece, as you know, and to capture it just right was tricky, but we got it. I was getting to, you asked me, was there any temptation to sort of fall back into the Ralph and Patsy thing? And I was saying, no, not for a second. No, we were too caught up in this, and not even a millisecond did it ever go back to Happy Days.
Well, you know, the one thing you brought up too a few times is, you know, it's 25 minutes long, and it's basically one dialogue. But the thing is, when you push play, you realize it's going to be 25 minutes long. But as you watch it, it doesn't feel like 25 minutes. Like, it goes quick because you can really get sucked into the material and what's going on.
Yeah.
And the acting. And so, I mean, that speaks volumes right there for the whole, you know, the writing of it and you guys portraying it and acting it out. So that speaks volumes right there.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. You don't feel that pass. I mean, the time, it's like it could have been 10 minutes. You know, it feels like it could have been a 10-minute passage of time. And that's, I think, attributed to all those things that I mentioned. That it was the coming together of great writing, and then Anson's coming up with really a great directorial design for it, and then the two of us really digging in and doing some of our best work. And all those come together, and then, you know, when that happens, it's special. And it doesn't always happen.
Now, have you guys had any other offers, like, over the years to do anything like this together, or?
No, not really. No, you know, because Anson was so, you know, he had really moved into directing and wasn't acting. And so we never had, there was talk way back when we were doing Happy Days, we almost did a spinoff together.
Okay.
We actually shot sort of like a pilot. And it was very close to happening, but at the last second, ABC, changed their schedule, their thinking about it, and then we didn't go on. But
wow.
I wasn't upset at the time, because I wasn't sure I even wanted to do a spinoff. I was very hesitant about even agreeing to do it. So I've been doing that one character for a while, and as it turned out, I wound up about a year after that, my contract was up, and I decided not to renew for, you know, to add on. I'd done 7 seasons already.
Right.
And Ron Howard and I actually didn't renew at the same time.
Okay.
So the idea of a spinoff, I had mixed feelings about it, but and then in the years after, nothing else had come about. Nobody had come to us with putting us together in something. This was the first time, but I'm glad it was in this format, because like I said, if somebody come to me wanting me to play sort of a similar kind of character in Anson, I don't think I would have been that interested in doing that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is totally different. So it's more
for
you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This I was into, because it's great writing. It's great characters. And that to me is everything. And that's what I've been doing as of late, more than ever, playing all different kinds of characters. Besides this, I have a movie on Amazon Prime right now called MBF, AKA Man's Best Friend. And it's a really highly dramatic, powerful film about this wounded vet coming back and trying to, you know, sort of assimilate back into life, and something really horrific happens, and I wind up playing his defense attorney. It's really a very different kind of role, very dramatic. And then I did another film called Lost Heart, and that's going to be coming out at the end of the summer, early fall, and a very different role again. And the play I was just doing, Middletown in Chicago, a completely different kind of character. So I'm really enjoying the diversity, you know, having the chance to play a wide variety of roles. That's what it's all about for me.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, it's good to see you doing all these different things.
Yeah, yeah. One perk for getting older is, I guess, it's helping me to, you know, create, there's more time and distance between Happy Days and now, so that more of these roles are coming to me now than they were, you know, 20 years ago when it was a little tough to get away from that, you know.
Cool.
So one good thing about getting older, I guess.
So, all right, so Harvest Time, everybody can see it for free. It's on YouTube.
Yes, yeah, YouTube. They just, there's a YouTube channel on, it's called Pop Goes the Culture TV, but that's confusing. I would say the easiest way is put in Harvest Time and then either one of our names, you know, Anson Williams or Don Most with Harvest Time. And it'll come right up on the search. And yeah, it's available anytime. Watch it for free. And it does happen to be on this YouTube channel called Pop Goes the Culture TV.
Nice. Cool. Don, this has been great catching up with you.
Yeah, you too, Bay. And maybe when I get to Nashville, we'll get to hang out a little.
Absolutely. If you're coming here, you have my number. Hit me up and we'll get together.
This number, the one that I called in on.
You know what? I sent you a text.
The text. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll do.
Definitely. Cool.
All right. Very nice talking with you.
You too, Don. Take care.
You too. Stay well.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.